This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to another Sunday Night Live on Road School Moms Radio. I hope you're all doing well tonight. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, one of the founders of Full Time Families and Road Schooling Mom to Four. And with me on the line is my co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four also. And we're happy to have you here tonight. We are, our rig is in central Indiana this evening, and that's where in the world we are. We're happy to have you with us. Where in the world are you, Kimberly?
I am still in Vegas, although we've moved to a different campground. We moved next door to the Thousand Trails. Last week we were coming to you from Arizona Charlie's. We decided to stay another week in Vegas, and we moved next door, and we are parked with like eight other families. We've been having a really good time here. It's been a lot of fun, and we were able to come here on the day that, I think last week we talked about NBC coming out to do a report on us, and
Right. That
it was so much fun, and the day that we arrived was the night of the report, so we were able to set it up on the computer and have a viewing party. It was a lot of fun.
How fun. Well, I know I sure enjoyed watching the news piece. It was awesome. A great representation of our community and the full-time families as a whole, and you guys done a great job.
Thanks. Yeah, it was really, you know, we saw the teaser a little earlier that day, and it, just to give you an idea of how the news works, that teaser was slightly controversial, and I was thinking, oh, Lord, what have we got ourselves into? But
right.
I was really, really very happy with how the entire piece came out. And if you want to see the piece, I've posted it right there on the Road School Moms Facebook page. It's right there on the news feed right there. You can click on it. There's a little write-up, and there's a clip, and there's some other Road School Moms featured in it. Bunny Arnold is there. Clementine is there. Laura Hamilton is there. And even you can see a little bit of Tammy Allen and some of their kids. So, fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. So, what's new with you?
Well, you know, we're here in Indiana. Checked out the Hoosier Forest this week and went to a state park that I'd never been to before. I can't remember the name of it. Spring Mill, I think. State Park, it's in southern Indiana. We are on our way to another state park, actually. We pulled out of here earlier today and are on our way to a Stamboree in Greentown for a rally there this week. So that's what's on our radar.
Very cool. Well, I want to remind our listeners that this is a live radio show, and if you'd like to call in, you can do so. This week, I was able to figure out how to redirect to the URL, so now it's super easy to listen in and to learn how you can be a part of the show. You can just go to www.roadschoolmoms.com, and it'll bring you to our entire show page. So it's all right there for you. And from there, you can figure out how to listen live over the phone at 425-440-5100 using conference ID 02-6375-POUND. Or you can chat right there on the side. You can submit a question. And you can see all our past shows right there as well. So go ahead and go to roadschoolmoms.com.
That's awesome. Thanks for doing that. I know that'll make it a lot easier for a lot of us. So what's new with you?
You don't want to know what's new with me.
I do.
You know, every Sunday night, I feel like I'm skidding into home to get in front of my computer. Do you feel the same thing?
I do. I'll tell you that when I was out there with you, not that I do wish I was out that way, but when I was out there with you and being on Pacific time killed me. And just because it came so early, and so I know that's where you are. Now, I will say, you know, when we got back this way, even when we were on, like, the time zone in Illinois or Missouri or whatever that was here a few weeks ago, it was just so much better because it wasn't 6, you know? So
right.
For me at 9 o'clock,
for me right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's, you know, just in time for the kids to say, I'm hungry, what's for dinner? And I'm like, go talk to your father. But what we've been doing today, well, there's this epidemic that's happening in this campground.
Okay.
Sorry about that. There's a bunch of kids in my camper, and when you hear what I have to say, you'll know why I'm a little distracted. So anyway, there's this epidemic going on in the campground. It started with Nellie Paul, who got herself a second dog. And then and Nikki Hornicky went and found themselves a dog yesterday. And so Chris, we were just sitting out talking with the neighbors, and Chris came by and said, look at this picture. And that's it. That's all she wrote. Now we are the proud new owners of a 79-pound Labrador Retriever mix.
Kimberly Travaglino, are you kidding me? Are you kidding
me? I so wish I was. I'm going to find this picture from the animal shelter, if I can think of what it was called. And I'll put it on the Road School Mom page.
The newest full-time family member. How funny is that?
Exactly. And
so
sweet dog. His name is Prince. He's very sweet. And he lives here.
Wow, I'm pretty speechless. This is not. I mean, I thought of a lot of things that you might be going to tell me. That definitely was not one of them. What did Miles and Candy think of this addition?
Well, we brought Miles with us to the animal shelter, and that poor dog, he was like, "What in the world are we doing here, you guys? I can't trust you for a minute." so he, Miles took it all in stride, and you know, Miles is really not the issue at all. He's totally fine. It's Candy, the 7-pounder, who thinks she rules the roost around here. And she looked up, checked him out, and went about her business of sleeping. So seems like as long as he stays out of their way, they should all be fine together.
That is so funny. Well,
yeah,
it's just a new chapter. You know, it's that seems like a big hot topic always. Everybody wants to know how do you do this or how do you do that with dogs? And now you can tell them how you do it with little dogs and how you can travel with big dogs. So
exactly. Exactly. We should have a pet show because that is a lot of people write on the full-time family Facebook group, I'm going to go full-time. Guess I got to get rid of my pet. And I'm like, why did you draw that conclusion?
Right.
Because there's tons of us with pets out here, you included. So why?
Well, and interestingly, this with our trip, not right now, but by midsummer, it's our plan, as you know, to get our lab with us. We haven't had her with us yet, but that's our next step with her. We've had our little dog, but not our big dog. So I'm excited that you're trying this all out and can give me all kinds of great tips.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm so excited too. Oh well, you know, Chris just had it that he needed it, and it's so funny. I was sitting at the animal place. It's this humongous complex of 22 buildings, Mary Beth, each housing about 12 dogs. So they have a big problem here with stray animals. And I was sitting there with a woman, and I had Miles, and she had a dachshund, the same coloring as Miles. And for anybody who doesn't know, Miles is a rusty-colored Cherini. And she said, I'm here with my husband. He's getting a big dog. And I said, I am too. Me and that woman were the same person, only 20 years apart. Very interesting. But I'm happy he's happy, and he is happy. My husband is thrilled to have this big dog because these other two dogs weren't fitting his image of his dog ownership self with himself. So now he's all better.
But you're making it rough on the other FTS there in the park that doesn't have a new addition to their RV. I'm actually glad I'm not there. I don't need that pressure.
Yeah, well. On the line, I see Jill and Dustin Dinkins are listening in from Michigan. That's really cool. And we have someone from Carbondale, Illinois. And,
oh, that's me.
It's you already. Oh, you have a Carbondale,
yep.
Illinois. Oh, okay. Okay, so I will reveal who you are, mystery person, in a minute. And I see a few people from New Jersey and some from Florida. So a bunch of people on the line. If you want to be on the line with us, go to the roadschoolmoms.com website, and you'll be able to see how to listen in. And if you have a question for tonight's guest, you can do that. Tonight's guest, I have been stalking him for about a year. I'm a little obsessed with him. He doesn't know. But Mary Beth, you know, because I introduced him to you like within the first 3 days of meeting you.
Yep. We talked all about it when we were in the Keys.
Yeah, when we were in the Florida Keys, I had a very nice water bottle. I forget what that water was, some kind of fancy water from Sweden. And I said, this is the perfect bottle for us to release a message in the bottle. And here we are in the Keys, what better place on the universe to do this? And so your kids and my kids all wrote their messages, and we shoved them in the bottle, and we elected a bottle thrower, and we cast it out into the ocean. So the message in the bottle hunter, Clint Buffington, who is on the line with us tonight, is, I don't know how I found his blog, but his blog, if you haven't read it yet, you have to go there right now, messageinabottlehunter.com, and you will see all of the bottles that he has found. And one of the reasons why I'm obsessed with you, Clint, is because I don't understand how you find all these bottles.
You know, I don't know either.
You must just have that magnetism.
I don't know. Some
messages.
Yeah, it's a lot of luck goes into it, I think. Yeah.
Well, you don't know how many times I've risked my life and limb and my children's life and limb to pick up what essentially became trash because the bottles had no messages in them. But here, let's go on this deserted island and squeeze yourself through this snake-infested tree, and please pick up that beer bottle because there might be a message in it. And alas, I have not found a message yet.
Hey, well, you know what? That's exactly the kind of persistence that's going to pay off eventually. Eventually there's going to be one.
So tell me how you got started with this.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, before I forget, I think messageinabottlehunter.com might take folks to my blog, but it's actually housed in WordPress, so it's messageinabottlehunter.wordpress.com. So
okay.
I don't know if
that I'll get that up
helps
on the
not,
site.
But. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so how did I get started? Well, I think I was just always a very whimsical and romantic kind of kid, so as soon as I learned that messages in bottles were a thing, which was probably in some Disney movie, I just wanted to find one. I was obsessed. My brother and I were, and my sister also, we were all kind of obsessed with finding interesting things when we were little. Like, for example, if we'd go on vacation to the beach, instead of having a contest to find, like, the biggest shell or the biggest shark's tooth or whatever, we'd have contests to find the smallest one because that meant that you had a keener eye than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of the background. And then when I got a little bit older and I realized that they were real, that it wasn't just a message in a bottle, wasn't just mythology, then my obsession kind of got focused on that. And, yeah, I mean, the first one was just blind luck, to be honest. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't really looking for it. And then once I found it, it just dawned on me that if I could find one, there must be a way to find others.
Absolutely. And because you have found them is why I keep looking, because if you could find them, then, you know, come hell or high water, and it's probably going to be high water, pardon the
pun, probably.
That I'm going to find one.
Yeah,
even if it's
well,
my own.
Well, stick with it. Hey, if you're hanging out in places like the Keys, I've never really walked the beaches there, but I'm sure that's great territory.
So tell me where you found your first one.
My first one I found on vacation with my family in, this island actually doesn't even have a name, I don't think, but it's in the British West Indies. It's part of a chain called the Turks and Caicos, which if you've been down to southern Florida, maybe you know about. It's not really all that far away. It's about maybe an hour and a half flight from Miami. So, yeah. And then I've just kind of rattled around other little islands like that in that area. I mean, I say that casually, but really what it amounts to is me saving money for like years and then going down there and just trying to you know, spend some time there.
And the first one you found, what did it say?
Yeah, the first one was great, actually. I couldn't tell there was a message from a distance, but it was just this blue bottle, like deep blue. And I mean, when you're walking on the beach and you see a bright blue bottle, I don't know. For me, at least, I'm a sucker. I'm going to pick that up no matter what's in it, just because it's pretty.
It could be a genie. But there could be a genie
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. So I went and picked this thing up, and the crazy thing was I could see that it was orange paper, and it had a couple dollar bills wrapped around it, and it was a couple weeks later before I actually opened it. But it turned out to be from this couple sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. They were from Canada, and they were on a I could actually probably read you part of it if I can find it. They were on an actual sailboat, like a real sailboat with sails, adventurous people like you all. And they sent a message just kind of saying, you know, here's where we've been, here's where we're going, it's been a wonderful trip so far, et cetera. Please let us know where you found this. And yeah, that was it.
And how old was the message?
That one, you know, it wasn't terribly old. I think it was a year or two old, which I always have to remind myself, that actually is a long time. I mean, a bottle floating around in the ocean, to me, it's despite having found several, it just seems so unlikely that it would survive, you know?
Right. And yeah. And did I hear you right? You didn't open it right away?
Yeah, that's right.
What is this resolve that you have? How is that possible? How did you not tear it open?
Well, you know what it was, actually? I think, I did open it a couple, I waited a while because it was wet inside. The paper was wet, and I was afraid that I was going to tear it. But whoever put it in there actually tied a piece of floss around the message, and that stuck out through the top. So eventually I just pulled the cork out and opened the thing. So, yeah, that one actually, I'm remembering now, it wasn't weeks. It was only a few days later because I just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to, like, fall apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So tell me, this is Mary Beth, by the way. It's nice to meet you.
Hey, likewise.
So tell me, do you find a majority of your bottles still in the water, or do you find them washed up on? Because I'm really intrigued, because I'll tell you that I'm a complete ocean fanatic. That's where we spend a lot of our time, and I have never found a bottle of the messages.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Believe it or not, some people have found them in the water, but I never have. The only ones I've ever found have been on the beach. So maybe I'm just not looking hard enough in the water. I also don't have a boat, so that's kind of a limiting factor. But I've had people write into the website, and say, hey, I found a message in a bottle one time, and here's the story. And it's crazy stuff, like people kayaking in the middle of a swamp or something like that, and they'll find a message in a bottle. It just goes to show you that people have been everywhere.
Now, when you find a message, you try to reunite it with the original sender, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's always my goal. Usually they're okay with me hanging on to it, but I try to find them and, if possible, meet them in the real world. I've only gotten to meet about four people who have sent messages in person. I'm hoping to increase that number someday. But
now, when I read the one about that originated in New Hope that you found on the island with donkeys, that I cried.
Yeah, that's a sweet story, isn't it? I mean, Janet is the woman who sends the message. Her name is Janet, and her husband at the time was a man named Bruce, and they ended up getting divorced. And, yeah, I mean, that's just it's a bittersweet twist of fate, you know? I think everybody involved in that story is happier now, but, how can you not be touched by something like that?
Right. So she and her husband sent the bottle. I loved what the message said. If the bottle gets there before us, then we're going to realize that we should have taken the water. So her and her message dropped the bottle. Her and her husband Bruce dropped the bottle off a bridge in New Hope in the Delaware River, which is where I'm originally from up there. So I know that's the place. I'm from across the border in Jersey, but we go to New Hope for lunch and
Lambertville.
Yeah, Exactly.
Oh, yeah, so, well, that's the bridge, the one that connects New Hope to Lambertville. That's the one that
right.
she was on.
Right, and they did that on
Crazy.
Their wedding day?
Yeah, well, I think that's what she said, but she also said she couldn't quite remember if it was, like, a day before or a day after, but she said that she thought they did it the morning of the wedding.
Okay, and then it washes ashore in the Turks and Caicos area?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is crazy, right? Because that river, I mean, that's hundreds of miles inland. Yeah.
I know. And what I love about your website is that you add all these animations that I've worked so hard at these animations. Maribel, have you been on this website yet? It's crazy.
I'm so glad you enjoy that.
So he's got, like, all these animations, and so he's got, like, a picture of a bottle floating, and him finding a bottle under a rainbow and going, woohoo, and him setting up bottles. Oh, my God, it's so funny. So who else, what other stories can you tell us about messages in bottles?
Well, oh, man, there's, I'll tell you one of my favorite stories that are from me or stories that are from other people, I guess I should
Anyone,
ask.
I don't care.
Well, one of my favorite stories is about other people, and it just blows me away. I first read this story maybe 2 years ago, but I've had some pretty strange things happen, strange coincidences, which you can kind of see just by reading the website, I guess. But this, I think, is just on a whole different plane. So there's a guy, a man and a woman who, I don't remember their names right now, who live in England, and they are engaged. And they decide that, you know, as part of the process of getting married, they're going to move in together, of course. It's just, you know, natural progression of things. And in the process of moving her stuff over to his stuff, they found a letter. And she was like, oh, my God, I totally forgot about this. When I was little, I sent a message in a bottle, and this little boy found it, and he replied to me, and we were pen pals for a little bit. But it's been, you know, 30 or 40 years since then, and I just can't believe I forgot all about this. They look at the letter, and it's him. It's her fiancé, the man she's marrying.
You are kidding me.
No, this is a real story.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
I mean, it's all documented. Like, you can look this up online. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. That, I have chills. What about you, Mary Beth?
It's pretty crazy. I know it's a small world. Crazy things can happen.
It sounds scripted, but, I mean, and some people probably would accuse them of that, but I've seen enough weird connections come out of these things to know that, I just believe that story to be true.
They call that divine power, right? Divine power.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. Yeah. So there's that one.
Go ahead. Did you see the one about the balloon?
I'm not sure.
This little girl releases a balloon in England. And then 400 miles away, a farmer finds the balloon and is ready to discard it and then looks at it, and it's got the name of his neighbor. And it's two little girls who are very similar who share the exact same name.
Oh, you know, I think I heard about that. Have you ever listened to Radiolab?
No.
It's a podcast. I think it's just a podcast. They tell interesting science-related stories. I think that they actually covered that story one time. But, yeah, I mean, that's the same kind of thing. What are the chances of that?
It's just meant to be.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to say. I'm just awesome.
Yeah, it's completely
crazy.
Whole
idea. So, now, when I was telling people about the show, they were saying, oh, well, how does he make any money hunting messages in bottles? And I don't believe you do this for the income of it, because, I don't know, is it a very lucrative business, hunting messages in bottles?
No, it's not at all. It's exactly the opposite of that, as a matter of fact. You know, I'm a teacher, so I make about $7 a year. So it's very difficult to even gather the funding I need to go on one of these trips. I'd like to make it lucrative. I've kind of talked with a few people about making either a book or a TV show or something like that. But I've never had an offer that I considered very serious, and, you know, for other personal life reasons, whatever, I've just never been in a position to go ahead with any of those possibilities. But I'd love for it to be lucrative, but it pays in other ways, you know. I mean, I think that for me, I didn't start doing this to make money. I mean, I started doing it because it's fascinating and crazy, and because the people I meet are amazing. And, I mean, I haven't met a bad person yet, and I think that's a powerful reminder for me that that we are all on the same team. And so, you know, lessons like that are more valuable than any compensation I could get.
Well, you know what we think? We think you should take the message on the bottle hunter on the road. That's what we think.
Absolutely.
I love that idea. You guys have a spare room in one of your campers?
We both do.
Wow, strange. And Kimberly, apparently she's taking on new boarders anyway this week, so this might be a good time to just hop on with her.
You weigh less than a 78-pound dog. If so, we might have room for you.
Well, I'll start dieting.
Well, with spare room, that's really funny since my kids sleep in the equivalent of a closet. But we could fit you in somewhere. But no, I think this is ripe for a reality show, don't you, Mary Beth? I mean, this is fascinating.
I do. I'll tell you that I think, and the messages in the bottles are fascinating, but I'm even more fascinated with your mystery camera series because you see that all the time. I've just seen one on Facebook the other day about the person that found something in an airport, and it was like a military couple or something. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but.
No, not yet.
I think it's fascinating that, you know, I mean, doing the message in the bottle, usually those are intentional. Mm-hmm. The cameras, you know, clearly no one intentionally wants to lose their camera.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's even more fascinating to me.
Yeah, and how cool would it be to get those pictures back to those people who, you know, once they lost the camera, they must have thought that their pictures were gone forever. And the crazy thing is, their pictures are not gone forever. I've got them. Like, the hard part's over. I found the camera. It's done its work. So,
right, and you've even developed them, so it's like a freebie.
Yeah. So hopefully, and you know, that's the kind of thing, actually, that's one of the big reasons that I have gotten so invested in social media with this whole project is that, I mean, it's the only way. People sharing those photos on Facebook or sending links to my blog to their friends or whatever, I mean, this sounds probably like a cheap pitch for myself, which I guess it is, but also it's really helpful because, I mean, it's the only way I'm ever going to find these folks, you know? Even the registration number that's on the jet ski in that one picture that's on the blog post you just mentioned, it doesn't lead anywhere. I mean, the Florida DMV won't disclose that information, and even if they could, they said that number is expired anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Wow. So where did you find this camera?
This one, you know, actually, it was on one of the same trips that I went, or same area, I guess, as the other messages. It's all been kind of in that Caribbean island cluster. So, yeah, this one also was on, and surprise, surprise, also on an uninhabited island that I think does not have a name as far as I know.
Wow, and I see that you take some selfies with the camera, too, if there's extra room.
Yeah, just to test it and see if it still works.
So who are you looking for right now? Why don't you tell us the people, like, have you found any messages that you haven't been able to reunite and you're still searching for them?
Yeah, actually, there are a couple. So one of the big ones is that camera one that I think Mary Beth just mentioned. Yeah, those images are on the site, and of course, I don't have anybody's names or anything associated with that. All I really have is the images, you know, that were on the camera. There's a couple others. There's one that I haven't posted about yet, but there's a guy in South Carolina that I've been trying to find who sent a message, and he appears to be a sailor. He talks about being on a sailboat as if it's something he's really comfortable with. So I'm looking for this guy. Maybe I'll post about that soon and see if I can get some help connecting with him.
Cool.
Yeah. There's a few other ones that I call mystery messages that are also on the blog that I'm kind of perpetually looking for help with. But, yeah.
I 2 years ago, I heard about on Facebook, in the Florida Keys, this rum bottle washed up, and this woman was at an RV park, and she was cleaning the beach, and she found this rum bottle, and in there was some dust, note. Did you know this one?
Uh-huh. Go on.
And some money. So she opens it up, and sure enough, it's this man's ashes. And whenever you find the bottle, you're to call the number and let his widowed wife know where he's washed up. And then the money is there if you need to, you know, if you can't afford to make the phone call or you want to get reimbursed for the phone call. But I don't think anybody's actually taking the money. And so she called the widow, said he's washed up here. The widow said, thank you very much. Would you please throw him back into the ocean? And so she added a little more money and sent it adrift again. And I just think that, I don't know, I guess you tapped in with the whole romantic notion of it. I'm just totally obsessed.
Yeah. I don't know, man. A lot of times I have to break the bottles to get them out, so I could see that getting pretty messy if I found it.
So you haven't found any ashes?
No, not yet. I keep waiting for that, but nope. I found one actually not too long ago. I connected with a guy in North Carolina. It was really a difficult one, actually, but this guy this is kind of a weird story. This guy's name is Dave, and I finally was able to find his phone number. I called him, and I said, hey, I found something I think belongs to you. And he said, oh, what's that? I'm guessing it's my ID. And I was like, no, because I thought he would guess right away that it was the message in a bottle. And so finally I told him, I said, I found a message in a bottle with your name inside. And he's like, oh, well, what's that? And I was like, what do you mean, what is that? That's a message in a bottle. I don't know how else to describe it. But he had no idea that somebody put his name on a message in the bottle, so he contacted all his family and friends, and it turned out that somebody in his family had sent a message to commemorate his father, who had died a couple years before.
Oh, with the same name.
He does not have the same name as his father, but they put the son's name in the bottle, I guess because they wanted whoever found it to contact the son and maybe to have a reminder of his father. I'm not sure exactly. But
did it say for a good time call?
No. It said something about a reward.
Most people don't know their names and numbers are under those lines.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't quite like that.
I was going to say, this is starting to sound like the message in the bottle gone wrong.
Yeah.
In the bottle, stalker or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You just never know. You would think that if someone's name is on a message in a bottle, they would know about it, but that's not always the case.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So so I want to discuss this with you, Clint, and get your professional message in a bottle hunter opinion on it. I have since released, and with Mary Beth 1, and then by our family 2, so 3 messages in a bottle. And I'm wondering, I struggle with littering. Am I littering?
Yeah. Man, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. It's something I don't get to talk about very much with this. But, well, there's, I guess it's a yes and no answer, because, I don't know, if you ask some people, I think they're going to say that anything that doesn't go into a trash can is litter. And strictly speaking, I guess that's true. But at the same time, if you use a glass bottle, glass is really just silica. So it's going to literally break down to sand when it eventually breaks down quite a long time from now. And if you use something like cork to seal it with, like, for example, if you use a wine bottle, that's just glass and cork. Those are totally natural materials. To my mind, I mean, it's littering in the sense that it's a piece of it's something that's been discarded, but it's not as if you're putting, you know, toxic chemicals out there. And this relates to another question, which most people ask, which is, you know, how should I send a message in a bottle? Is glass better? Is plastic better? And I've got to say, hands down, glass is better, not only for those, you know, environmental reasons, but also because it lives longer, believe it or not. There's a perception that plastic lives a long time in the ocean, and it just doesn't. Plastic is, think of it kind of like a liquidy substance. And so it's got all these chemicals in it that keep it soft and pliable, but when it's exposed to the really punishing environment of the ocean and the sun and all that stuff, it dries out and it becomes brittle and it cracks and then the water gets in and then it sinks and then your message is lost forever. But just to give you an example, the oldest message in a bottle I've ever found in plastic was maybe 2 years old or 3 or something like that. Whereas, I mean, I routinely find messages that are 20 or 30 years old in glass, 40 years old in glass. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but I would say I wouldn't feel too bad about it if I were you and I were using glass and cork or even an aluminum cap. Those are really a great way to seal bottles as well. So yeah, I think that you can send a message in a bottle that's glass and walk away with a pretty clear conscience.
Okay, I feel better about it already.
Good.
Okay, so you bring up a good point. You touched on what's the best way to send a message in a bottle. And when I read that Janet had put caulk, I thought, oh my gosh, I screwed up. Is it important to caulk the top of the bottle?
No, not necessarily. She sent one of those bottles. Maybe some listeners remember old bottles from like the 70s and 80s. Soda bottles were glass, and they had those aluminum screw caps. Usually now they're plastic. But those aluminum screw caps actually hold up really well in the ocean on their own. So if you're able to find a bottle that has an aluminum screw cap, that's great just on its own. But if you wanted to use caulk, I think that it probably would help. I mean, her message lived quite a long time, I think, partially due to the caulking that she put in there. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got some caulking laying around and while you're making that message in a bottle, I'd say go for it. But if not, it'll probably be fine.
Cool. Mary Beth, you have any other questions?
No, I was just thinking that clearly you've Googled how to send a message in a bottle. I mean, is there anything
I clearly
you Google?
Did.
Really? Oh, my goodness. She's the Google queen. Maybe you should do your top 10 Googles and put them in a bottle and send them out.
There you go.
Maybe I will.
You know, I think I'm just going to start sending crazy things in bottles and see if you come across any of them. You're like the guru.
Man.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I set mine in there, and I put the power of intention that Clint would find it. Because for a while,
awesome.
I couldn't get a hold of Clint. I sent him numerous emails, but maybe to the wrong place, and I tell you, I stalked him for like 2 years.
Yeah,
and when he finally did respond, I was like, oh, good, because the first time around, I wanted him on the other radio show. This is our second radio show, Clint. I wanted you to be on Road Rebels, but this is much more better because this is an educational show, and we're all clearly learning lots tonight.
Cool. Yeah, well, I'm glad we finally connected, too. I must have missed those emails, but I'm glad we made contact now.
So you said you're a teacher. What is it you teach?
I teach writing classes at a community college here in town. And, yeah, I've taught writing and speaking kind of both at different times.
Very cool.
So is that in Southern – so then are you teach in Southern Illinois then?
No, actually, I still have my phone through a provider in Illinois, but I moved out to Utah not all that long ago. So I'm actually in Salt Lake City right now.
Yes, and I will be driving through on Wednesday.
That's so crazy. See?
I know.
Small world, man. These connections, you know?
I know. So when I come knocking on your door, you'll be like, what?
Yeah.
We'll videotape it for next week's show. It'll be great.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, if I see a camper outside, I think I'll have a pretty good idea of who it is.
Yeah, I don't really get to run a low profile with my 42-foot camper and my 78-pound new dog.
Oh, I was going to say, with a slobbery dog hanging out the side window, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for the pictures of this.
Oh, boy. Well, okay, so tell our listeners, if they want to follow along on Facebook, where should they go?
Oh, if they want to follow along on Facebook, I think the easiest thing to do is to just search for Message in a Bottle Hunter. Or you can also go to the messageinabottlehunter.wordpress.com blog site, and there should be a tab there to follow me on Facebook. And, I update Facebook quite a bit more than the blog, so I'll share things on Facebook if I'm trying to find someone or if I'm trying to help other people connect who are looking for messages, message senders. A lot of times I just post interesting message in a bottle stories that I've heard recently, things like that. So yeah, that's probably the best way to get in touch on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter. I don't know if road people tweet, but if so, I'm there.
What's your Twitter handle? What is that?
It's a silly nickname I got once upon a time. It's Clintle B. So it's just, yeah, Clint, C-L-I-N-T-E-L-B-Y.
C-L-P-Y. Okay.
E-L-B-Y, like boy.
So, okay, P-L-B-Y. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. When's your next outing to search for more bottles?
Oh man, never soon enough. I was hoping this summer, but it's looking more like fall or winter. So we'll see. Yeah, I'll keep you posted on what happens there. And I've got a couple. I'm still following up on a couple right now that I'm pretty excited about. I think this week is going to be a good week. So I'll let you know what happens.
Very cool. Well, we'll be following along. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. Thanks for educating us about messages and bottles. Thanks for assuaging my guilt about littering in the ocean. I feel much better about that. I'm going to continue now.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I think what you guys are doing is really cool and adventurous, and we need more of that in the world.
Thanks. You have a good week, and I'll probably see you on Wednesday.
Okay, great. Safe travels.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, my gosh, that was fun.
That was fun. That's so crazy.
He was well worth the wait. You know, everything and everything happens at a time for a reason, and I'm really happy that we were able to interview him now because that was a lot of fun.
It does. You know, I think the biggest thing that I love about his story is that he's genuinely, you know, he's not really looking for anything other than, you know, to return the messages to their original owner. And just how cool is that? You know, he's really not looking for anything for himself out of it. And I think that's cool.
I know. And if you go to his Facebook site, do you see all those messages he's found? It's insane.
I know. It really is. I'll just tell you, I don't know. I just go back to how much time that I spend on the beach. And now I've never, I mean, I guess it's because we're not in the right place. I mean, I guess if you're going to go to a beach that has lots of people and, you know, the chances of you finding it because somebody else has already found it, I guess that makes sense. Not like I'm out in the ocean trying to find uninhabited islands, I guess. That's
right.
Where we're going wrong, apparently.
Yeah. Obviously, we need to go to uninhabited islands, and I'm game whenever you are. You and I.
Well, you know.
So from uninhabited islands from now on.
That's what we should do. That's awesome. Let's do that. Who can we find? Who can we find to do that?
But I will say that when I was in Corpus Christi, Padre National Seashore, the beach was littered with bottles. And this is before I had run across Message of the Bottle Hunter, and I just thought it was all litter. And I really feel like I could have missed one there because there were so many bottles.
Mm-hmm. I didn't ask him, and I guess, I mean, I've seen some on his website that were in a foreign language, but it makes me wonder, too, like, how many, you know, where do they come from? Like, are they coming from really far away? Are they really coming from across the ocean, or do they, you know, are they from closer than that? It's just interesting.
Yeah. I can't wait till he finds ours.
Did we put us on the, oh, yeah, we put an email. We put an email on ours, right?
Yes, we did. Good, but this was before we had the radio show even, so it'd be awesome.
Really fun. All of the kids wrote their own thing. We put them all in there, didn't we? Is that what we did?
Yes.
All the kids wrote their own message. So our bottle actually has several messages in it, which is even way more cool.
Yeah. Our bottle is a veritable bonanza of messages.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of writing... Speaking of writing, that leads us back to school and road school and all that. So what's going on with that with you? Are you homeschooling right now? Are you road schooling? Are you on a break? What are you doing?
I'm so glad you asked. I don't know. Did we talk about this Thomas Jefferson education yet on the air?
We did. You talked to me about it a little bit, and I'm sad to tell you that I did not check into it yet. My week was crazy. I have it wrote on a sticky note on the back of somewhere. But I was going to look into it, but I didn't.
I have been continuing to read about it, and 3 days ago, Blaze came to me. And so for right now, our schooling consists of me reading classical literature to the kids. That's pretty much it. You know, we've been traveling with families for a long time, a lot of families, and there's a lot of distractions. So it was a good time for me. I was looking for a break in our homeschooling efforts so I could reconvene in my mind what it is that I wanted to accomplish with their education. And it just so happened that Amanda Bush came into my life at that exact time and told me about the Thomas Jefferson Leadership Education. And I've been reading their books. they've written several books about it. The leader of this, Oliver DeMille, and his wife Rachel have written several books about how to accomplish this, and some of my second book. And like I said, reading the classical literature to them, and Blaise 3 days ago came to me and said, I think that there's probably a book about the Golden Spike, which you know is our next stop, Promontory Summit, Utah, to see where the two railroads met for the Intercontinental Railroad. I think there's a book about that, and I'm interested in learning about that. And I almost fell to the floor. Because that's exactly how this is supposed to work. They're supposed to come to you and tell you what their interest is, and they're supposed to be, at first off, interested in learning. And I can tell you that what I was doing before for their education was not promoting an interest in learning. It just wasn't. Learning was work. Learning was no fun. Learning was devoid of creativity in our house. We were just going through the motions. And what I can see now is that I was teaching them the way I had been taught with the tools that I had from my school, which was learn these facts, regurgitate these facts to me, and then we'll call you a success. And
that's so true. That is so, so, so true.
With the breadth and flexibility that we have in our education, I can do so much better with them. I can do so much better. But, again, those were all the tools that I had until Amanda came into my life and told me about this particular aspect of a leadership training. And this is about giving your children the thirst for knowledge and an excitement about learning, which is ultimately, I think, what we all want.
Right.
Because people who love to learn continue to love to learn throughout their lives, and I believe that those people do really well because mostly they're self-taught in aspects of information that they want to learn about. And for Blaise to come and use those exact words and say that to me floored me. So I did find him a book. It's called the We Were There series. I was able to get it on Kindle, and they have a whole bunch of them. We were there during the Battle of Gettysburg. We were there at the Boston Tea Party, and one of them was we were there at the driving of the Golden Spike. And we've been reading it together as a family in preparation for our tour of the Golden Spike next Saturday. And, I'm so happy we did this because all the aspects that we wouldn't have completely missed just by going and seeing these two railroads, all the politics that were involved in building this, all the money that was involved in building this, the people, the Vanderbilts, the robber barons, the you name it, the Indians, the Sioux Indians who fought the line workers to the death to see this not become a reality, the immigrants that worked the lines, you know, the Chinese to the west and the Irish to the east, all of this stuff, this vast amount of knowledge, is distilled in this fictional book based on historical events, and we are really enjoying it.
Well, you know, that brings up a point, and not to give myself a plug, but, you know, that really is, like, what you just said, jumping from how we learn to why we learn or whatever and the way that we live, that really, what you just said, is what prompted me to start Road Trip Teacher, because you know how many, I mean, my goodness, how many places you've stopped in the however many years you've been on the road, a lot longer than I have. Think how many places you've been, and you go there and you read what's on the wall or whatever, you know, however much you can cram in and, you know, whatever time you're at any place. And at the same time, you know, there's distractions and people are hungry and somebody has to go to the bathroom or, you know, whatever. And it's just a hard thing to try to learn very much information in a destination. And so that's, you know, we're just reading right now. And as you know, I just finished up our Grand Canyon unit study. And the kids just in the last couple of days were reading things that I didn't know. And I'm so glad that I did this before we went to the Grand Canyon. You know, we were supposed to do that before we left, as you know, we didn't get to. But it's just amazing to me all the places, and just like what you're talking about, the Golden Spike or with national monuments or whatever, how much information there is that really does tie back to our history and how this country started and why things are the way they are, and just a lot of information that you can miss if you don't do some research before you go somewhere.
you know, even if you're going to get to do something really cool like you guys are going to do, you know, get to, you know, like with a guided tour or whatever, just having the information before you go there just means so much more, I think, for your kids, especially when they're elementary, you know, elementary school aged.
Absolutely, which is exactly why I love your study guides, because I love to be able to prepare them before, because I think human nature is that once we're done with that, we're done with that, we're moving on to the next thing. So I prefer to do it before we actually get to the location, and then when they get to the location, I can see, it's like a download, Mary Beth. You know, I plug them into that location, and all of a sudden, all the pieces are fitting together in their head, and they're like, oh, my God, that's this that we read about, and look at that, and oh my God, I remember this from the book, and, oh, yeah, that's why this happened, and blah, blah, blah. So those study guides are so valuable for, you know, anyone, for people traveling full-time like we do, or even people who are on vacation this summer. If you're going to go on vacation to one of the locations where the road trip teacher has already created a study guide for you, you're crazy not to get it. Even if you did none of it, even if you never took out the scissors and the glue and the files and you just read it to your kids would get so much more out of the experience.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And that is exactly what, you know, they're designed for. And, you know, I think the reason they work is because I write them for my own kids. You know, I write them for them. And, you know, so hopefully that comes across.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they're really, really great additions to any kind of traveling. So very cool. So the Grand Canyon one is coming out.
It is. It's done. It's in final editing, and it should be on the site, I don't know, maybe even tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. I've been working on that one for a while to learn some things of myself that I didn't know about that area out there. Have you been to the Four Corners Monument, Kimberly?
I have not. I have not. So tell me about it.
Well, the Four Corners, it's not a big thing, but it was something that I didn't realize even existed. But the Four Corners Monument is where the four states come together out there, not far from the Grand Canyon. So it's northwestern Arizona. It's a corner of Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, I guess it would be. Right? Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
No,
I'm not right.
What's Arizona, New Mexico,
Colorado, Utah. There we go. Wyoming. I don't know where Wyoming came from. You know, I'm working on Yellowstone at the same time. I guess that's where Wyoming came from. Sorry. Anyway, so there's a monument there, and it's also the boundary for the Navajo Nation that is at that spot. And then there's another Indian tribe that has some sort of a, you know, a reservation in that area. So it's a boundary of six places, but it's the only place in the United States that four states come together. And so it's just marked by a national monument. It's something that I didn't know. It was just interesting to me.
Very cool. I've seen some of our members take pictures there where they can stand in those four states all at once. Usually they, like, lay across it with one arm in one state, another arm in another state, one leg in one state, and one leg in another. So that's a pretty cool place to visit.
Yep. Only place in the country you can do it, so that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
So one thing I was thinking when we were talking about you with your Thomas Jefferson, you know, with the new kind of road you're going on with that, I think a lot of us are thinking about next year or you know, what we're doing, if we're going to be changing curriculums or whatever. And hopefully I think we should take requests for any curriculums that anybody is maybe looking into, and we should find Road School Mom that is using that and maybe do some more reviews like we did. I know those are very popular. So
absolutely.
I thought that
I love that idea.
For me, I'm looking for something different for Tyler for math, so I'm kind of exploring a couple things. I thought I might put some feelers out there and see who might be using those products that we could talk with them on the air over the next couple weeks.
Very nice. And if they want to be alerted to any of your new study guides that come out, what should they do? Go to your site and subscribe to your newsletter?
Yep, that's the best way. Like our Facebook page, of course, that gets you the daily information. But to truly be connected with what we're doing and to get the up-to-the-minute releases, if you just go to roadtripteacher.com, subscribe to the newsletter, you actually get a free Across America puzzle book when you do that. And then you'll get a notification of the new releases. And I actually always discount them when I first release them to my subscriber list. So if you do that, then you'll get that discount as well.
Very cool. Well, that's very exciting. So we are going to get into the truck on Wednesday, and I was able to, you know, this weekend coming up is Memorial Day weekend, which is
crazy.
Huge...
I had no.
I know, yeah. You like, as full-time RVers, we have no idea that it's Memorial Day weekend, and the only reason why we do is because then you start calling parks and they're absolutely full, and that's terrible because, you know, a lot of people ask us how we make our plans to go from park to park, and I don't really make many plans. I have this vague idea of the general direction I want to go to and where I want to stop, and then, you know, I might call one or two parks, the first park that's got the right combination of price and quality and good reviews, that's what I'll pick to go to. So last night we were talking that next Monday is Memorial Day, not this Monday, next Monday is Memorial Day. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't have reservations for this weekend to get to this Promontory Point. So I called the first place. Yeah, so I called the first place, and of course they were booked, and she was so happy to tell me that they had been booked 6 months ago. You idiot.
Gosh.
We were booked 6 months ago. Well, that's so nice. Thanks. I'm so happy for you and that your business is doing well. And meanwhile,
great.
Moving on, I called another place called the Golden Spike RV Park, right? So I would like to make a reservation for 4 nights. Okay, so you want to come for 1 night? No, I'd like to come for 4 of them. Okay, all right, what are you in? I'm in a 42-foot fifth wheel. Is that a Class C? No, it is not. That's just what I say. Is it an RV park?
So the
conversation doesn't get much better, although the person on the other end was affable and nice, just very confused. So then I say to him, how far are you from the national park? Do you know what he asked me, Mary Beth?
What national park?
Yeah, which one?
Oh, goodness.
To which I say, the one your RV park is named after.
Oh, goodness.
So I'm not sure I have reservations, is the bottom line. I don't feel confident at all.
Well, now you're all about the whole boondocking thing, so you might get your wish.
Yeah, I wasn't really wishing for it Memorial Day weekend, but I might.
Uh-huh.
I might just have to roll with it. So that's the fun of next weekend. So when I talk to you next weekend and say that this Golden Spike RV Park does not exist, nor do we have a site there, you'll know what I mean.
Oh, boy.
Good
luck with that. Good luck with that. Because, you know, we all preach. I mean, I preach that all the time about how when I make reservations, that jinxes our travel plans. Then because we don't get there, something happens, and it's just too much of a hassle to try to cancel and worry about deposits or whatever.
Right. Right. But just quick note for a new Road School mom, you definitely want to have reservations for Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, and Labor Day weekend. Do not wing it unless you can dry camp, because you might be squeezed out.
I'll agree with that. That's what our first year out. That's what we July 4th weekend. That was our thing. We ended up finally in Coos Bay, Oregon, but we were in the middle of a parking lot at a casino. But whatever, it is what it is.
Right. Sometimes you can go with it like that. Wonderful. So we'll be moving on Wednesday, and we'll be coming to you live, hopefully from that Promontory Summit. And I'll be telling you all about our experience at the Golden Spike next week. And are you going to the Stamboree next weekend?
Greentown this week, and then we'll be on the road towards Kentucky for the next week. So
in the Midwest,
but on the road, so it makes me happy.
Very cool. And we'll be, I've been taking lots of videos. I have a video of Antelope Canyon and a video of Slide Rock, Arizona. So hopefully we'll be able to get those up on the Full Time Family's website. If you have missed the news report, that's also on Full Time Family's website. You can click on, what did I put it on? Oh, I put it on a blog post that says we're going to be on the news. Oddly enough. So you can learn about what it was like to be on the news, but you can see all the behind the scenes pictures, and then you can watch the video that they created of us.
Great. Well, have safe travels this week. It was great to catch up with you and the other Road School moms that we got to share with tonight. And we'll talk again, same time, same place.
That's
from wherever
right.
in the world you are next Sunday.
Sounds good. Good night.
Good night.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your word, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.